Okay, inawit natin yung standing on the promises, and that is what we are supposed to be doing sa mga pangako ng Diyos. Tinitindigan natin, ngunit dapat gamitin natin ng maayos at ng nararapat ayon sa tuwid na pananampalataya. And the reason why I am saying that is because, as we saw last week, there are plenty of misuses and abuses of the promises of God. At kung maraming pag-aabuso sa mga pangako ng Diyos sa lahat ng larangan ng buhay ng pananampalataya, pinakamalaganap ito sa usapin ng pagbibigay. It is in the duty of giving that people abuse the promises of God, because this is where so many are making promises where the scriptures do not. Ang nakita nga natin last week, may pangako ang Diyos, at ang pangako niya ay sufficiency, kasapatan, upang tayo ay sumagana sa kabutihan o katuwiran. So makikita natin yung dalawang bagay doon. May abundance, but abundance in good works and righteousness. But as far as things are concerned, the promise is sufficiency. I challenge anyone to show me any New Testament promise that says prosperity. Pero paulit-ulit siya na nakikita natin sa mga mangangaral ngayon na nangangako ng prosperidad kung meron lang sapat na pananampalataya. Last week, nakita natin yan sa katauhan ni Apollo Kibuloy na maraming ipinapangako. Tingnan natin ang isa pa. Siya ay si Renato Carrillo, na umaangkin na siya ay apostol. Meron siyang programa sa TV na Oras ng Himala. At isa siya sa pinaka, masasabi natin, one of the more galling as far as promises of prosperity are concerned. Listen to him.
Ang pong nakaranas sa Bible noon, ikapito tayo, ito ang pinakaranas. At pagsama-samahin natin ang lahat po ng kayamanan na naranasan nila mula kay Abraham hanggang po kay Solomon, ay wala pa po sa kalahati sa kayamanan at inibigay ninyo sa ating ngayon disen. Kaya po pa mabili natin ang mundo at ang 7 billion tao ay maligtad at makapasok sa lahat.
Pagsama-samahin mula kay Abraham hanggang kay Solomon, katiting lang sila ng ipinangakong kayamanan sa ating ngayon. Where did this man get that idea? Here is another.
God have a lot of trouble, but God double his prosperity more than his troubles. Double pa yung trouble! Nakao talaga rito. God will give you double pa yung trouble! Kung meron na. Pero ako pa'y walang trouble, eh, hindi ko triple.
So these are just examples. I mean, in a way, because we know what the truth is, we find it comic. But in another sense, this is a very grieving claim na maraming nakikita niyo mga naniniwala sa kanya at ginagamit yung kanya mga sinasabi, pinapalakpakan nila, and they are victims of such deception by people like this who attract a numerous following just because they are promised prosperity, and there is now nowhere in the scriptures na you will find such promise. Kaya ingatan natin ang mga sarili natin. Ang isang bagay na inulit-ulit ko ka last week, sincere giving is not conditioned on receiving back. Ang ginagawa ng mga ganito na mga pangako, ginagawang ang mga pangako ng Diyos, yung pagbibigay sa Diyos ay parang naging kalakalan. Magbibigay ka, parang kang namuhunan. Tayo, pag tayo'y nangangalakal, walang masama doon na mamuhunan tayo at umasa tayo ng tubo, umasa tayong kumita. There's nothing wrong with that. Proverbs 14:23, to every labor there is profit. So marapat lang kapag tayo namuhunan, magplano tayo paano kumita yung ating pinuhunan. Pero pagdating sa pagbibigay sa Diyos, ay ito, hindi ito parang kinumbinasyon mo yung pagbibigay para makuha mo yung cash mula sa safe ng Panginoon. Napaka-pangit tingnan ang ganitong bagay. At yung mga mangangaral, ginagawa ngang yung pagbibigay sa Diyos, after the tithe is paid, how much further balance? How much further the balance goes? Parang may balance ang Panginoon sa iyo kapag nakapagbigay ka ng iyong ikapo. Napakamali po niyan. Sa pagbibigay, walang inaasahan na hindi ka nagbibigay para sa kapalit. And this is what Jesus said himself. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now take note, sinasabi ni Paul galing ito sa Panginoong Jesus. You read the Gospels, wala iyan. Which can only mean this is an oral tradition. Hindi ito nakasulat pero nagsalin-salin sa bibig mula sa Panginoong Jesus. Kaya inulit-ulit ito ng mga mananampalataya bagamat hindi nakasulat. Alam nila na ito ay sinabi ng Panginoon. More blessed to give than to receive. Isipin mo kung paano mo may apply yan doon sa nagbibigay kasi naghihintay ng matatanggap. More blessed to receive than to give yun. And then Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. So yung sinabing hoping for nothing in return, that shows na giving is not for the sake of what you will get in return out of what you have given. At isang prinsipyo pa, ang para sa atin, ang pagbibigay ay gawa ng pagsamba. Hindi ito gawa ng puhunan. Hebrews 13:15-16, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. So yung praising is sacrifice, but another sacrifice, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Kaya yung pagbibigay ay itinuturing na paghahandog sa Diyos. Kung ikaw ay naghahandog sa Diyos, yung nagsasacrifice, hindi yan naghihintay ng kapalit. Inihahandog lang nila out of the bounty of their gratitude. Dahil sa nagpapasalamat sila sa Diyos, nakikita nila ang kadakilaan ng Diyos. Kaya yung pagbibigay na pangangalakal ay napakapangit na diwa sa usapin ng paghahandog at pagbibigay sa Diyos. Ngayon, tingnan natin para mabaligtad natin yung ganyang diwa ng pagbibigay bilang pangangalakal, ano ang tamang diwa kapag tayo ay nagbibigay sa Diyos? Pinag-uusapan natin ito bilang paghanda sa ating pagtalakay ng ating budget, yung paghahangad nating gamitin ng may karunungan, ang pananalapi na ipagkakatiwala sa atin. Kaya ang ibig sabihin, isang inaasahan sa atin ay maging maluwag sa pagbibigay. Pero kapag tayo nagbigay, ano ang tamang diwa na pairali natin? Well, practice the grace of giving in orientation to the kingdom cause. Ang gagamitin nating main passage ay itong 2 Corinthians 8:1-7. Hindi ko muna babasahin yung kabuuan yan, pero titingnan natin yung iba't ibang mga idiniin dyan. Ito ay may kinalaman sa ginawa ng Macedonia. Yung iglesia sa Macedonia ay nagkaloob, nagbigay ng kaloob kay Pablo para sa kanyang misyon. At ito'y ginawa nila sa kabila raw ng kanilang matinding kahirapan. Alam niyo, totoo yan sa Roman Empire noon. Macedonia was noted for its poverty, so much so that the Roman Emperor exempted it from tax. Kaya totoo ito, yung sinabi ni Pablo na sa kanilang matinding kahirapan, Macedonia was a very poor city during the first century in the Roman Empire. Exempted siya sa buwis. Pero dito makikita natin na sila ay maluwag na nagkaloob dito kay Apostol Pablo. Isang matutunan natin dito is giving is called here an act of grace. So yung dalawang nakalinya, naka-underscore dyan, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. At sa ibaba ay muli inulit ni Pablo, abound in this grace. Yung this grace ay yung pagbibigay. It is an act of grace, meaning nauna ka nang binigyan at because ikaw ay nabigyan ng biyaya ng Diyos, parang ikaw ay kumilos ng ayon sa biyaya. It is a deed motivated by grace, and it is grace therefore that is the source, and your giving is the fruit of grace. Kaya walang usapin dito ng kalakal. Ito ay gawa na may binigyan ka na ng biyaya ng Diyos. Nagbibigay ka ngayon bilang tugon sa kanyang biyaya. So it is an act of grace. And furthermore, it is an act of worship. Yung unang naka-underscore dyan, they gave themselves to the Lord. Kaya hindi yung kaloob nila muna, kundi sila yung mismo sa kanilang katauhan, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then it is an act of fellowship on top of worship. Then to us. Kaya yung kanilang pagbibigay ay bilang pagsamba sa Diyos, ibinigay nila yung kanilang sarili sa Diyos, at yung kanilang pagbibigay, ibinigay nila yung sarili nila sa pangkat ni Pablo sa kanilang misyon. So, giving is an act of worship. You are worshiping the Lord. Hindi ka nagbibigay lang dyan bilang bahagi lang ng gawain, kundi tumutugon ka sa Panginoon. And therefore, your giving should reflect how you are responding to God. Paano kang tumutugon sa Diyos? And then, it is an act of fellowship, pakikiisa sa mga gawain ng iglesia, sa mandato ng iglesia. And also, one thing that we learn here is that giving is the duty of all believers regardless of economic state. Ang description sa kanila ni Pablo, in a great trial of affliction. Binanggit ko na, mahirap sila. Economically, they were poor. And yet, ang paghanga sa kanila ni Pablo is beyond their ability. They were freely willing. So therefore, if that is the case, no one can make excuse of their need, of their lack, and excuse their not giving. Dapat tayo magbigay ng may kaluwagan. Hindi dito sinusukat yung standard of how much, rather how liberal, based upon your state. Alam natin ang isang bantog na tagpo sa Ebanghelyo ay may kinalaman sa yan ang the widow's mite. Alam natin yung tagpo riyan sa Luke 21 kung saan inobserbahan ni Jesus yung mga pumupunta sa templo at nagbibigay ng kanilang kaloob at pinansin niya yung mga mayayaman, nagbibigay ng malalaki. Pero ang tumawag ng kanyang pansin ay yung balo na nagbigay ng ang tawag ay mite, yan ay kalahating araw na sahod. At ibinigay niya ang kanyang mite sa templo. At ito ang hinangaan ni Jesus. So in other words, it is not so much the amount that matters, but rather the reflection of liberality. Kaya hindi natin ugali dito na tingnan yung mga amount na binibigay ng mga miyembro. Of course, if you want to do that, we will do that. Ginagawa yan sa Amerika kasi pwedeng deduction yan sa kanilang buwis. Kapag ibinigay sa isang charitable institution, ang church kasama sa inilalagay na kategory na charitable institution, kaya yung kanilang tithes and offerings nakalista para mailagay nila sa kanilang tax exemptions. Hindi naman natin ginagawa yan dito, pero kung gusto nyo nga na ilagay sa inyong tax exemption, gagawin natin. Pero yan ang point na it's not the amount, it is the liberality of spirit. So you ask yourself, this is a matter for self-examination, not for church monitoring. Your self-examination is the amount I'm giving reflective of my liberality in response to the grace of God. So yan ang punto na ipanuri natin sa ating sarili. So ano dapat ang mga simulaing Kristiyano na inilalagay natin sa ating isip, sa ating pagbibigay. When we give of our tithes and offering, instead of the trade-off mentality na ginagawa sa prosperity churches, ano dapat ang isinasaisip natin? Let me suggest the following causes directly related to our giving. The first is the mission of gospel witness. Now, this is William Carey. William Carey is considered the father of modern missions. Hindi dahil sa siyang unang missionary, kundi siya yung talagang ang tutok ng kanyang panawagan ay mission sa India. Doon siya nagpunta. And when he went to India, he never returned to England, where he came from. At more than 40 years in India, doon na siya talagang nagpagal. Marami rin siyang nagawa. At doon na siya namatay at pinagbunga ng Panginoon ang kanyang misyon, bagamat for the first 7 years, walang bunga. Ang una niyang bunga ay ang kanyang katabi, si Krishna Pal, na naging translator niya. Nung hindi pa siya makapagsalita ng lengguwahe ng India, siya yung taga-translate. Siguro sa kata-translate niya, na pumasok rin sa puso niya yung kanyang sinasabi. At siya yung unang naging convert ni William Carey, you will find a hymn by Krishnapali in your Grace Hymns, hymn number 145. Pero sa language ng India, marami siyang hymns, hindi lang naisalin. So, ginamit siya ng Panginoon. In fact, when Carey had his first baptism, year 1800, isa sa mga unang bunga rin ng kanyang baptism ay yung kanyang anak na si Felix. Mamaya, may babautismuhan tayong anak ng pastor. But this is the point na isipin mo yung missions. While much of history, Christian history books, give credit to William Carey, I'm quite sad that this man is not given due credit. Andrew Fuller. When William Carey was going to India, nagkaroon siya ng agreement kay Andrew Fuller. Ang sabi niya, I will plumb the depths if you hold the rope. So, sisisirin ko ang kalaliman basta hawakan mo ang lubid. Ang ibig niya sabihin doon ay yung practical support para kay William Carey. And if you read the story of Andrew Fuller, amidst his pastorate, and he was a theology instructor, yet he labored hard for the material practical support for William Carey. It was a heroic deed. At a time na hindi pa uso yung ganung pagbibigay ng malakihan sa misyon, Andrew Fuller labored to exhaustion in order to give support to William Carey. Humanly speaking, a William Carey would not be possible without an Andrew Fuller. Now, that is still true today. The task of mission is great, but it can only be sustained through the faithful giving of God's people. So evangelistic and missionary enterprises are sustained by church finances. At sinabi ng 3 John chapter verses 5 to 8. Take note yung sa verse 8, we ought to support people like this, those who are giving witness to the Gentiles. We ought to support people like this that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So ang ipinapakita rito, the practical support extended to the minister, to the material support extended to the gospel witness is deemed as sharing in the work. Hindi man ikaw yung pumupunta sa misyon, ngunit kapag tayo ay matapat na nagkakaloob alang-alang sa misyon, yung pagkakaloob na yon ay pakikipagkamanggagawa sa mga nagpapatotoo para sa ebanghelyo. So imagine that. What kind, and we ask ourselves again, what kind of fellow worker are you with those who go to the mission? At pagdating sa gospel witness, ito naman ang ibabala natin. Covetousness for money is a major hindrance to gospel response. Isang bantog na kwento ng ebanghelyo, the rich young ruler, nang hamunin siya, na sumunod kay Jesucristo, at nung sabi na ang isang panawagan sa kanya ay may kinalaman sa kanyang kayamanan, tinalikuran niya si Jesus. And Jesus concluded in verse 23, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Ang ibig sabihin, yung pagkasakim sa kayamanan, ang isang malaking hadlang sa pagtanggap ng ebanghelyo. And on the other hand, stinginess. Anong Tagalog stingy? Kuripot. Yung hindi maluwag sa kanyang pagbibigay, stinginess of giving to gospel cause is humanly restraining its fruitfulness. Kaya isipin natin na tayo ba'y mabuting kamanggagawa o nagiging sagabal sa pagkalat ng ebanghelyo. So this is something that we need to reflect upon. Then another cause is ministry of the word. Maliwanag ang turo ng salita ng Diyos. Those who minister the word in church are called to be under church support. isang maliwanag ito sa salita ng Diyos. Kung ang isang nagmi-ministeryo ng salita ng Diyos ay makapagmi-ministeryo ng mabisa, itinadhana ng bagong tipa na dapat siya ay sinusuportahan ng pagbibigay ng mga tagasunod ng salita ng Diyos. Hindi siya magtatrabaho sa labas para kumita siya roon bago magbiministeryo ng salita ng Diyos. If that happens, it should only be temporary and of necessity, not the regular and the normal. And it is God's people's duty na unahin ito. The practical support extended to the ministry reflects the esteem of the church for the word. Galatians 6:6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Pinag-ugnay yung pagtuturo ng salita, yung natuturuan, kung pinahahalagahan nila ang pagtuturo sa kanila, ay ipapakita nila sa kanilang pakikibahagi ng mga mabubuting bagay. At gusto kong liwanagin, the first duty of the church concerning its finances has to do with the support of the ministry of the word. May mga iglesia na nagpapakaabala sa pagtatayo ng eskwela, mga welfare actions and organizations, samantalang yung ministry of the word is unsupported, and that is wrong. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Yung double honor dyan, hindi ibig sabihin na doblehin mo ang paggalang mo. Maganda yun kung dodoblehin mo ang paggalang. But sa context dyan, may sinabi sa verse 3 na honor widows who are widows indeed. At binanggit paano i-honor ang widows in terms of practical support. Now, if you are honoring widows, dito ngayon ang context ng sinabi, those who labor in the word are worthy of double honor, which means that even before the matter of honoring widows, there is first the priority for practical and financial use of the church's resources, this support of those who minister the word. Kaya priority ito. At makikita natin dito, lack of liberality can be limiting to the effectiveness of the minister. I have nothing to say against that as far as this church is concerned, because I am a beneficiary of liberal support. But I speak for many pastors I know whose churches are very restrained as far as support is concerned. And I see how they struggle, and the church is unmindful about that. Hindi nila alam na sa kanila rin bumabalik yung kakulangan sa ministeryo kung may kakulangan sila sa pagsuporta sa nagmi-ministeryo. On the other hand, for those who labor in the ministry, they must forswear forever the motive of money. John 10, in the discourse of the good shepherd, sinabi, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Ibig sabihin, kung nasa ministeryo siya nang dahil sa kanyang kinikita, iiwanan niya ang tupa sa panahon ng pangangailangan dahil wala siyang tunay na pag-ibig sa tupa. Now, the word hire in itself is used positively in other passages. But when it comes to shepherding, hire is evil as a motive. And I have to keep telling that to my students, because there is so much that's going on in the ministry because of finances, and that is bad for ministry. Kaya yung sinabi ni Pablo, I do not speak according to need, because he has learned to both be abased and abound. And that should be something anyone who enters the ministry should be prepared to do. Forswear forever the motive of money. So, there's the mandate ng ministry of the word. Then, isa pang iisipin natin sa pagbibigay, the mandate of benevolence. And maliwanag ang mga turo ng salita ng Diyos pagdating sa kawang gawa. Sensitivity to practical needs is expected of individual believers and of the church. And practical responsiveness to the needy is evidence of spiritual graces. At dito, makikita natin to be insensitive to the needy. Pakibaba sa 1 John 3:17. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, it closes his heart against him. How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Now take note na ang una niyang isinasara, eh, hindi muna yung kanyang kamay, kundi yung kanyang puso. It closes his heart. When he sees the needy, when he has the ability to help, and he does not help, it's an issue for John of God's love. Hindi lang ito issue ng kaya mo magbigay, kundi mahal mo ba? Nasa iyo ba ang pag-ibig ng Diyos? And then, there is an explicit priority of benevolence to the household of faith. Galatians 6:10, maliwanag na sinabi, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, remember, we want to help everybody, but we do not have an abundance of resources, which means, that's what I learned sa economics. The fundamental of economics is management of scarcity. Scarce resources, you have to prioritize at maliwanag at explicit yung sinabing priority, first the household of faith. But also, sa 1 Timothy 6:17, those who are materially blessed have a special duty to share of their blessing. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, etc. They are, verse 18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. So, generous, ready to share. There's something about sharing that is even beyond giving. Giving, you can give what you no longer need. Sharing is something you can still use, something that can still be useful to you, but you choose to make it useful to others. That's sharing. So that goes beyond just plain giving. So yung mga mayayaman, ang taas ng kamay ang mayayaman. There will be no show of hands, I'm sure. So yung benevolence, and then finally, manner of testimony. Ang ibig sabihin po niyan, covetousness in professing Christians many times is justified and encouraged by what we saw as carnal claims, and that is wrong. Instead, attitude to money and practice of giving largely shape Christian testimony. Ano dapat ang patutuon ng Kristiyano pagdating sa kayamanan? Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So yung treasure in heaven ang mas binibigyang kahalagahan. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. That means you cannot serve God and money. What does that show? It shows that money has a mastering power. Hindi yan basta lang andyan sa'yo at ikaw ang master ng iyong money. It takes character to master your money, because once you have the money, its tendency is to master you, and you need to deliberately choose God alone as your master. And we know, again, one parable in the Gospels, parable of the rich fool. Alam natin ang nangyari dyan. This is a good businessman, and he had a bounty investment, nagkaroon ng tubo at nagplano siya, perhaps a 5-year plan, except that his 5-year plan would not last the 24 hours of the day, because God said, tonight I will claim your soul. So dito natin makikita yung kahungkagan ng pag-asa sa seguridad ng pananalapi, ng kayamanan. And that is not something that believers should be characterized by. Why? Because of this parable, the hidden treasure. yung hidden treasure, one of the briefest of kingdom parables. It says, Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. No, of course, it's not literal, but it means once you see kingdom treasure, which is of course not money, but the treasure that belongs to the kingdom, every other treasure becomes little to your eyes in comparison to that treasure. So paanong magiging ang isang mananampalataya ay maaalipin ang paghahangad sa salapi kung natagpuan na niya ang tunay na kayamanan ng kaharian? So covetousness is inconsistent with having discovered kingdom wealth. And stinginess belies the profound significance of the kingdom claims of Christ. Tandaan natin ang pagkapanginoon ng ni Hesus Kristo ay humahagip, sumasaklaw sa ating material na kalagayan at sa ating pagbibigay at sa pananalapi. Luke 16:10, in conclusion to the parable of the unjust steward, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, and by unrighteous wealth meaning wealth of this world, if you are not faithful with that, who will entrust to you the true riches? It takes character to be a good steward of worldly wealth. It takes more character to be given stewardship of kingdom causes. Kaya may relation ang ibig sabihin yan. Kung kulang tayo sa karakter sa ating mga pananalapi at ma-re-reflect yan sa ating pagbibigay, paano tayo magpagkakatiwalaan sa mga bagay ng kaharian? So isipin lang natin, pagdating sa usapin ng pagbibigay, Christian giving is in reciprocation to God's gift, to God's greatest gift of His Son. One of my favorite verses, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? The greatest gift is the Son. If God only gave His Son and that's all, you still have been given much. But of course, with the Son, kasama ng anak, buong biyaya niyang binibigay pa ang maraming bagay sa atin. With such a generous God, how can we not reciprocate it with our own generosity? So instead of carnal claims, my challenge is put your heart in the cause of the kingdom. And I have no doubt that you will give gladly. So instead of carnal claims, what we have are Christian causes. So don't expect prosperity. Don't give for prosperity. Because God has already given us so much, no less than His own Son. Let us give gladly for the sake of the kingdom. Any question or any thought you'd like to share concerning this matter of giving? Papu.
May mga naobserbahan po ako sa mga ibang churches tungkol sa pagbibigay. Tapat po sa pagbibigay ang mga miyembro, pero pagdating sa pastor ay maliit ang binibigay nila kasi ang katwira nila hindi rin magaling magturo, kaya bakit bibigyan ng malaki? Tama po bang pangangatwiran?
Kung hindi siya makapagturo, eh, hindi siya dapat nasa pagpapastor. Dahil isang qualification, 1 Timothy 3, ay apt to teach. Now, of course, yung ability will have degrees. Wag natin ipilit dapat katulad siya nito, katulad ng ganyan, mali iyon. Pero kung pastor siyang nararapat, makapagtuturo siya. Kasama sa ibig sabihin na makapagtuturo, makakagamit siya ng kasulatan, maipapaliwanag niya, mabibigyan niya ng aplikasyon. At kapag nagagawa niya yon at nakikinabang ang iglesia, diyan papasok yung Galatians 6:6. If you are profiting from the word, then you share in all good things. Hindi ito comparison, kundi may basic na ability to teach. Pero yung madalas kong ang ibabala, kung bago siya nagturo, napakaliwanag sa iyo ng teksto, matapos niya magturo, hindi na maliwanag, hindi yon up to teach. Other thoughts or questions? I would appreciate any thought that you have learned from experience about giving, about money, that would be helpful to us. John.
May natanong ko na rin sa ibang members. I feel that I should be giving an offering and Should I decide na nakita ko this particular ministry as a need, I would give it directly to that ministry, or should I entrust it all to the church and then the church let the church decide where to put the money?
Well, by all means, if you have a special burden for a ministry at gusto mong part ng iyong ibinibigay ay para sa ministry na yon, by all means, of course, may ibibigay kang para sa church talaga. Pero if a part of what you want to give ay gusto mong magamit sa particular ministry, by all means. Thank you.
Pastor, dito po sa notes yung ministry of the word. Note, those who minister the word in church are called to be under church support. Pastor, how about, I know of a big church na the elders or the teaching elders are business owners. So it's more like they are not supported, but instead the businesses support the church and the church support the ministry. So in other words, hindi po sila maasa sa church for the support. Ano po ang masasabi niyo tungkol?
No, may iba-ibang eldership naman, may tinatawag na ruling elders, hindi talaga sila hindi ang main task nila as elders ay to teach. And preach, kaya dinistinguish dun sa 1 Timothy 5:17, though especially those who labor in word and doctrine. So, mari i-support yung ibang elders who are not laboring in word and doctrine. But for those who labor in word and doctrine, 1 Corinthians 9:14 establishes the standard. Those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. At yung context nun ay inihambing sa mga Levites. Ang mga Levites, kung matatandaan nyo sa Old Testament, lahat ng mga 12 tribes ay may allotment na lupa na kanilang pagkukuna ng kabuhayan, except the Levites. The Levites were not given an allotment of land because they were going to live from the tithes and offering of the people. So ganun ngayon ang mga ministro ng Ebanghelyo, if they are preaching the gospel, it is established standard that they should live of the gospel. And it is God's wisdom that it should be so. Isipin nyo kung meron siyang negosyo, yun ang kanyang pinagkakakitaan. Pagkatapos mangangaral siya, anong nakikita niya? Hindi lang mga makasalanan kailangan ng Ebanghelyo, kundi mga potential customers na baka mapagkunan niya ng pagkikitaan. Napakapangit nun. Kaya para sa akin, basta ang kanyang main task is preaching and teaching, he should live off the gospel. Other thoughts? And again, it's a challenge to the church. I told you, I've seen many situations where kaya naman ng church, pero limited sila mag-support. Yung kawawang pastor na pipilitang kumuha ng ibang pangkakabuhayan, paano siyang makapagbibigay ng gusto sa pagtuturo at pangangaral kung malaking oras niya na gagamit sa pangkabuhayan? And it shows the little esteem for the word by the church. Other thoughts? Tito Ike.
I would quote this in Cultivate. Giving is the duty of all believers regardless of economic state.
Opo.
I know of a certain group or a congregation who has what we call quote-unquote uniform taxation. The richer you are, the bigger you must give. Yung tinatawag nilang ikapo. Is this within the context of this giving?
So, yung question is tithing still a standard of giving sa church? That's a good question, and it has been debated many times, and I usually don't engage in such a debate because to me, tithing is something that is simply assumed in the New Testament. Why? Because the principle is the more blessed, the more you should give. And the question is, which is more blessed, Old Testament or New Testament? Eh siguro, napakaliwanag naman po ng sagot riyan na mas malaki ang pagpapala sa bagong tipan sapagkat nasa panig na tayo ng katuparan. Therefore, for the believer in the New Testament, he should not even be asking, should I tithe? Because a believer in the New Testament should be giving more than the tithe. I would not engage in debate with people who insist on tithe. Sometimes I answer with tongue in cheek, telling them, if you don't want to give 10%, fine, give 20%. Ang punto lang po nun ay, we should give more than what we have as a standard in the Old Testament. Papu.
Mayroon pong mga bukas naman sa pagbibigay maluwag. Kaya lang, ang ginagawa nila ay sa form ng mga donation sa halip na ilagay sa offering ay ibinibigay na lang sa support sa mga ibang project o mga gawain ng iglesia. Tama po ba yun o kailangan ilagay sa offering?
Well, kagaya ng sinabi ko kay John, you can use part of what you are giving as offering to a particular ministry or perhaps to a particular person in the church who is in need, hindi mali iyon, pero we should always have a part that we give to the church as a church. Hindi everything is a donation to a particular project. Meron tayo dapat binibigay na pang-iglesia, at kung gusto natin na bahagi ng ating ibibigay ay para sa isang particular na ministeryo o particular na tao na gusto mong tulungan, that's fine. But there should always be a gift, an offering to the church. Glenn.
In relation dun sa series ng question na yun, halimbawa, of course, ako may gusto na akong ibigay, pero ang ibigay, hindi ko ibibigay direct sa church, ibibigay ko sa ministry man, pero yung very particular ako, dapat pangsilya lang ito. Kahit hindi yun priority ng ministry, talaga nakita nila, but itong pera ibibigay ko, pero pang very particular doon lang. Maganda ba yung ganun o anong...
Again, same answer na you should have an offering for the church, but then if you want part of what you are giving as offering ay sa isang particular na ministeryo o particular na gawain, walang masama. Yung mismong ginawa ng Macedonia ay ibinigay kay Pablo, pero hindi ibig sabihin nun na wala silang binibigay sa church. Pero may particular na ministry silang pinagbigyan. There was a time when, and in fact, until now, kung nagkukulang yung pondo ng iglesia para sa writing ministry, the writing ministry is close to my heart, so I give part of what I give to the writing ministry of the church. Noon ay Herald, ngayon GBC Pulpit, and I give it away dun sa isang particular ministry, partly.
Kung hindi priority siya, Pastor.
O kahit na, kung nilagay sa puso ng isang mananampalataya yung proyektong yun, ay, at gusto niyang tustusan partly ng kanyang ipinagkakaloob, I would not be one to stand in the way of a burden of any particular Christian. Basta ang usapan lang, meron kang binibigay sa iglesia at kung yung bahagi gusto mong ibigay sa isang ministeryo, that's fine. Paul.
Pastor, ito rin po yung is related to yung napag-usapan natin last Sunday, and it pertains to Romans 8:32, yung phrase doon na giving us all things, and some preachers have used it, extended the meaning of that phrase to even material things. how can we guard ourselves against in such misinterpretation of that phrase?
Well, it certainly includes material things, but there is no promise there of prosperity. Yun ang tinututulan ko na ginagawang ang promise ay prosperity. There is no such promise. The promise is sufficiency. So, which means, ang Christian, ang tinuturo ng teksto na yun ay lahat ng tinatanggap mo, material thing man, or graces, or other blessings, lagi nating iuugnay at iuugat sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Yan ang sinasabi ng teksto. Kaya, kung matatandaan nyo yung ating New Year's message based on 1 Corinthians 3, because of Christ, all things are yours. Whether things of the present, things to come. Kaya yung lahat ng suma sa atin, dapat sanayin ng Kristiyano ang kanyang isip na iugat niya sa ibinigay sa kanya si Jesucristo. I often use yung Puritan line na yung picture ng isang taong may hawak na tinapay. At ang sabi ng caption ay, "What? I have Christ and this too?" Nasa akin na si Kristo, may tinapay pa ako. So tinitingnan niya yung material thing or yung food na extra na nang dahil nasa kanya si Kristo. I'm sure yung iba sa inyo mas makapagsasabing hindi lang tinapay. May bahay at lote, may mga pagpapalang marami. But the point is, the littlest of blessing, root it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tito Ike.
Meron tayong sinabi na mas madaling pumasok ang kabelo sa mata ng karayom kaysa yung isang mayaman na pumasok sa langit.
Okay.
Now, also in the Bible says, what you have done to your brethren, you have done it to me. Okay. Ngayon, ang isang mayaman kaya, kagaya ng mga milyonaryo, at nagbigay ng kawanggawa yung mamamatay na nag-donate para maupirahan o anumang kawanggawa. Is this also considered as giving in the context of what we are discussing?
Well, una po doon sa mas madali ang kamelo ay pumasok sa butas ng karayom kaysa sa mayaman. Kasama po yun doon sa passage ng rich young ruler, yun ang conclusion. At ang naging reaksyon ng mga alagad, who then can be saved? And the answer of Jesus, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Which means that if a rich man is saved, it takes more the grace of God for him to be saved. Now, doon sa as much as you have done this sa mga naghihirap, you have done this to me, is that part of giving? Yes, yan po ay benevolence na kapag tayo ay tumulong sa mga nangangailangan, ito ay ginagawa natin sa Panginoon. The only caution is, yung kawanggawa, hindi po yan batayan ng kaligtasan. Hindi sa pamamagitan niyan ay tatanggapin tayo ng Diyos dahil mapagkapwa tayo. Kinakailangan tayo ay mananampalataya ni Jesucristo at yung mga ginagawa natin yon ay bunga ng pananampalataya kay Jesucristo. Are the thoughts?
Follow-up lang po yung sa question po kanina.
Yes,
is it also applicable to missionaries? Like, kasi meron po yung mga tent makers. Kasi po sa Egypt nun may mga na-meet kami na pagpasok po doon, hindi ka mas parang nag-investor, pupunta sa isang area, they would invest money and help yung isang community to make some garments. Pero in the process of going there, nakaka-penetrate sila and then they share the gospel kasi medyo mahigpit nga. So, inalaw sila ng government kasi they come in as investors. Pero in other words, missionaries talaga sila and they do business.
Well, as a cover of necessity, ginagawa yan especially ng mga nagpupunta sa China. Sa China, you're not allowed to be foreign missionaries are not allowed. So ang ginagawa nila, they come as with a cover of business. At may kilala ako, naging estudyante ko pa, na nasa China siya ngayon. Ang cover niya ay language teacher. So may mga cover silang trabaho, pero ang talagang punto nila ay makapangaral ng ebanghelyo. And I honor that. Kumbaga, hindi sila talaga para sa kabuhayan, kailangan lang nila yung cover ng kabuhayan para makapag-ministeryo sila. However, where wala namang ganung necessity, I believe that even missionaries whose mission is preaching the gospel is covered by 1 Corinthians 9:14. Ito nga naging scandal ng mission noon ay nagpupunta yung mga missionaryo para sa mga ginto, mga lupain, at gagawin lang nilang ang nangyari, yung mission ang cover nila. At yung talagang gawain nila ay pamumuhunan. Nagreklamo ng isang African convert. The missionaries came to our land. The missionaries taught us to pray. But while our eyes were closed, they stole our land. Masakit yun. Pero yan ang punto na kapag ang mission na iugnay nila sa kabuhayan, it's a very bad image. It's a scandal. Okay, some last thoughts. Carol.
Pastor, I've just talked to some na, lalo na yung mga tao na tingin nila yung umaasa sila sa pinoprovide ng Lord sa kanila araw-araw, namumuhay sila na naghihintay lang dun sa araw-araw na kinikita nila. Some are saying na, ay, hindi ko na kailangan mag-tithes kasi naiintindihan naman ako ng Lord, ng Panginoon eh, na marami pa akong kailangan bayaran, kailangan pa kainin. But siguro, kagaya nga po ng sinasabi natin na lagi na ang pagbibigay ng ikapo at offering is part of worshiping God. Maganda na laging alalahanin natin upang tayo rin ay magkaroon ng pusong magbibigay ng ating ikapo at offering na may maluwag sa ating kalooban at may kasiyahan na ibinabalik ito bilang pagsamba sa ating Panginoon at pasasalamat is the thought na maliit man or anuman ang binigay ng Panginoon sa atin, it is still God's. Even yung kinikita natin ay sa Panginoon pa rin, hindi atin yon. So, yung parte lamang nun ay bilang pasasalamat lamang. In fact, we ought, gaya nga po nang nabanggit kanina, if we already have Christ, may bonus pa tayo na meron tayong kakainin, meron tayong kinita, meron tayong gagastusin sa mga iba-ibang bagay. So, kahit maliit, kasi sometimes yung mga nakakausap ko, nahihirapan silang magbigay na parang pag may kinita, ina-apportion na nila sa iba-iba nilang gastusin. So it's really best na pag may kinita tayo, mag-set aside na ng para sa tithing and offering for the Lord as part of worshiping Him and giving thanks for everything that He had provided for us.
Well, exactly. At kung tingnan natin ito na kaloob pa rin ng Panginoon, dapat may portion na ibabalik natin sa Kanya. With the passage of the widow's mite, there is no more excuse na kahit tayo naghihikahos, ay wala tayong pagsambang nasa anyo ng pagbibigay. Yung sinabi ni David when nagkaroon sila ng giving para sa project ng temple which his son Solomon would build, sinabi niya in 1 Chronicles, out of your plenty we have returned unto you. Yung kanyang giving, tiningnan niya na ibinabalik ang ibinigay sa iyo ng Panginoon. So even a poor man should be able to give because he needs to worship with his material things. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your substance. So bahagi ng honoring the Lord ay may substance tayo na ibinibigay sa Kanya. And that is a corrective to covetousness. Yung may portion na talagang para sa Panginoon. At kasama na rin dyan yung sinabi naman na naghihintay lang ng ibibigay ng Panginoon. Ang pagbibigay ng Panginoon gumagamit ng kasangkapan. Kaya merong panawagan sa Proverbs, di ba? Go to the ants, use sluggard, and trabaho para magbigay sa atin ng Panginoon. Jean.
Pastor, curious lang po ako dun sa practice ng mga Christians sa US na tax deductible if they give to the charity. So, pag practice bad, would you know kung practice nila talaga yung they declare their tithes and so that they can get some deductions? And what do they do?
Well, they will get a certification from the leadership ng church na ganito yung naibigay nila through that tax year and ilalagay nila yun sa mga exemptions nila.
And what do they do now dun sa magbabawas na dun? Kasi when they compute the total tax that they have to pay, mas maliit na yon.
So, mas maliit na yung tax kasi nadagdagan yung deduction.
Right. So, pero anong ginagawa nila dun sa nadidak na yun? Would they?
Nasa church na yun, di ba? Binigay na nila sa church. So, that means na yung naibigay sa church, isinertify ng church na ganitong binigay nila, that is now tax deductible.
So, yeah. I'm just trying to compare yung mga hindi nag apply for the deduction kasi parang mas malaking ibabayad nila. So would they...
Yung mga hindi nag-apply for deduction, most likely, very negligible yung kanilang binibigay. May kwento ng ganyan na yung isang Christian, dinalo siya ng taxman kasi masyadong malaki yung deduction sa kanya. So pinadala siya ng IRS. Tapos tumakita, talagang certified naman. At sinabi nung nagsabi yung Christian na, why don't you come to church with me? Ang sabi nung taxman, thank you, I have a church of my own. And the Christian said, I never thought of that. Ibig sabihin niya na, I never thought of that. But siya nagsusuri, dapat na-understand niya na kung nagbibigay siya talaga, ma-understand niya na may malaking deduction kapag faithful giver ka. Meron pang kwento pa rin sa IRS. Nakatanggap sila ng letter mula sa isang taxpayer. Sabi niya, enclosed is $100. I cheated on my tax report. But I have not been able to sleep well since then. And then, if I still cannot sleep well, I'll send you the rest.
Glad... Relation naman doon kay Gene. Actually, kung computein mo, ay mababa pa rin yun. Kasi hindi yun, ibig sabihin, ang tax mo ay example, 10,000. Tapos nag-tithe ka ng 10,000. Hindi yun i-deduct doon. Iba yung...
Yung taxable income.
Oh, taxable income. Kasi yung iba kasi yun ang understanding. Talagang, kung 10% ang usually sa US, 10% ang maximum mong i-claim. Hindi mo sabing, I tithed 25% of my income. Siguro pwede kang 10% doon, mag 10% sa isang charitable institution, Red Cross or ganyan, pwede kang mag ganun. So, it's just hindi yung ano ang tithes mo ay i-minus yung magkano ang income, taxable income. Gusto ko lang maging klaro yun.
Okay, thank you Glenn. Meron pa? Tina.
As a widow po, I owe it to the Lord kung hindi ko po sabihin yung katotohanan niya sa buhay ko bilang nag-iisa po. Kaya, yun po. Kanina po, yung Romans 8:32 ay na-cite, totoo po na yun na po kasi yung nasa puso ko na meron na po tayong Panginoon. And then, bumalik po talaga sa alaala ko yung noong minsan na nasabi ni Pastor na what I have Christ and still yung pong merong bread. Kaya habi ko nga po talagang gusto ng Panginoon na sabihin ko kung gaano siya naging kabuti sa akin bilang isang widow. Nagpapasalamat po ako sa Panginoon dahil sa una, nanggaling po ako doon sa katuruan na talaga pong ang Malakay 3:10 ay isang motibo para sa pagbibigay mo yung Christian, yung paggamit ng carnal promise para maklaim mo yung material blessing, financial blessing na galing sa Panginoon. At yun po, it is very liberating na tayo po ay nakakapakinig ng ganitong katuruan na ang intention po natin ng pagbibigay ay yun pong nasa puso So dahil nga po sa tayo ay iniligtas ng Panginoon, talaga pong nagpapasalamat po ako sa Kanya na hindi, noon pong dalaga pa po kasi ako pag dadaan yung offering plate noon. Dahil nga po, pinupukpok na mabuti po yung Malachi 3:10 na wala pa po akong maibigay. Ang sinasabi ko na lang po sa Panginoon, Panginoon, yung sarili ko na lang po yung inilalagay ko dun sa offering plate. Yun pong act of worship na principle na atin pong natututunan, yun po talaga yung nasa puso na alam kong tinitingnan ng Panginoon. At dahil nga po tayo niligtas niya, freely na willing ka na ibigay pa ang masigit pa. At totoong-totoo naman po na hindi po niya pababayaan kahit na po sino pang nagkakaloob sa kanya na hindi po out of gusto mong merong in return, kundi out of His grace and mercy, His loving kindness, nandun po yung totoong-totoo na we have been young, now we're old, yet hindi po, we have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Kaya every time nga po na last week pa po kasi, yung meron po kasi kaming sa wall na nandun yung cross stitch na give us this day our daily bread. Every day po na talagang makikita ko yun. Alam ko na indeed, he is a husband to a widow and a father to the fatherless. Yun po talagang makiklaim ko yun in every day of my life na kahit pa po may mga kasamahan ako na ang sweldo po ay twice or thrice may salary, and yet minsan po pag nag-uusap-usap, naririnig ko po na kulang pa, may business pa sila, meron pa silang maraming mga resources, may asawa siya, may, pero nandun po yung meron pa rin daw pong kulang. Pero sa puso ko po sabi ko, Panginoon, maliit lang po yung nasa kamay ko. And yet, tunay ka na dakila na hindi, walang kulang. Kasi yun nga po din sinasabi ko sa mga anak ko, sinabi ng Panginoon na ibibigay niya, our God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Pero hindi sinabi na ibibigay ang lahat mong gusto. So hindi po yung lahat ng gusto, pero talaga pong yung sufficiency ay naroon. At yun nga po, kung ang Panginoong Jesus ay ibinigay niya sa atin, how much more ang mga bagay na secondary lang. So kung meron na po tayo ang Diyos, He is our all in all. We have Jesus Christ as our Savior. And all the rest, everything will be secondary because He is our first and foremost in this earthly life.
Okay, thank you, Tina. It's from a widow's mouth. May sufficiency kahit pa sa comparison sa iba ay mas maliit. Yet, that's one thing about contentment. Yung sinabi nga, yung na-share kong book, is a rare jewel. Christian contentment is a rare jewel. You have your jewelry. Kung meron kang contentment at kasapatan na iyon para sa atin. Because you have Christ. With Christ, God has been so generous to us. We must never have any thought of any stinginess on the part of God. Okay, Jean.
So, hindi kasi natapos yung tanong ko kanina. Connected pa rin dun sa sinabi ni Glenn. I understand that, na hindi naman binabawas yung dun sa practice ng mga Christians. Because I'm very curious. If you were a Christian in the U.S., would you declare your tithes to be able to have the deduction sa tax? Kasi ang implication is, if you are not practicing the declaration, you will be giving more to the government. Kasi ang computation ng tax doon would be more. Kasi there's no deduction, for instance, from the what was given to the church. So ang question ko talaga doon, if you were a Christian in the U.S., should you make it a practice to declare yung tithes mo? Because if you don't, in my mind, ang implication is then you will be giving more to the government. Kasi you'll be ang computation ng tax doon mas malaki. So, and if
that's the case, dapat ba nagawin yun ng isang Christian o part ng generosity mo na you give more to your government?
Well, that's something that every Christian will make a decision whether he wants less tax by declaring his tithes or he wants to give more to the government by not declaring his tithes anymore. But yung sinasabi ko, sa US, meron silang ganong choice. I don't think that we need to do that here sa Philippines. So sana yung mga pinag-aralan natin, that dalawang lessons lamang ito in order to prepare us for our annual meeting, but I trust that the effect is to give us the right spirit as far as giving is concerned and as far as our sense of gratitude is concerned. A grateful man will be a giving man. At yun sana ang maging diwa natin sa buong taon. Manalangin tayo. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kaming lubos sa mga katuruan ng iyong salita, sa maraming pangako na ibinibigay nito sa iyong mga lingkod. Nawa, Panginoon, ay iwaksi namin ang anumang mga makalamang pag-aangkin na napakalaganap sa aming panahon. Bagkus ay magkaroon kami ng diwa ng pagbibigay na nakabatay sa mga simulaing Kristiyano na ibinigay mo sa iglesia. Magkaroon kami ng kaluwagan ng pagbibigay ng dahil sa misyon at sa kagustuhan naming maging kamanggagawa ng mga nagkakalat ng ebanghelyo. Gayun din sa pagtuturo ng ministeryo ng iyong salita ay lubos naming pahalagahan at makita ito sa uri ng aming pagbibigay. Lalo't iniisip namin ang mga may kinalaman sa iyong kaharian at ang tunay na saloobin dapat na mamayani sa isang mananampalataya. Father, grant that you would have a sense of your generosity because you have given to us no less than your Son. You have not spared Him. And with your Son not spared, the promise is you will graciously give all things in sufficiency. Grant that we may grow in contentment and grow in gratitude for everything that we enjoy in this world as believers is out of your bounty, rooted in the Lord Jesus. So make us grateful people, and a grateful Christian will be a giving Christian. So this year, grant us to be a church composed of giving people and people who give because they are grateful and they are sensible of your goodness and generosity. So receive our thanks and make us a generous church for this year 2013 to your glory and to the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.